The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the Nova Society are those of our guests and panel members and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of any institution any member of the Nova Society is associated with. The material information presented on the Nova Society is for general information purposes only. Reproduction or dissemination for the purpose other than education is prohibited without express written consent of the Nova Society. We'd like to welcome everyone back to the Nova Society, and today our panel, minus Scott Gerfer, who is vacationing in Florida, continuing our discussion around the recent email we received from Australia that was asking us about TikTok and the potential of TikTok being banned here in the United States. And of course, the last question that was presented to us by Stephanie was what we thought the impact would be on President Biden if he was to sign the bill. Would this hurt him with that much needed group of young voters that everyone seems to believe he needs to win re-election? So let's listen in. So the last question that she asks on this is, because I think we've given our thoughts on what we think about this. I personally think it's a bad idea to ban TikTok. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have very smart people in technology that if it was really, truly an issue that had to be dealt with, we've got the tools.
Mm-hmm.
Let's deal with it. And going back to the...
Sorry, one question. How long has TikTok been around?
Oh, gosh.
I'll have to do a quick Google on that one.
I have to do a quick on that one, too.
It came into super popularity with the pandemic, but it was around before then.
September 2016. That's when it was first, the initial release.
Okay. So now we're talking 8 years, and right, everybody still seems to be here. And except for the balloon that flew over the United States that one time, I don't really notice. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we could be being infiltrated by who knows what, online or who knows. I mean, I don't know. I it's been around for 8 years, and I don't know why now all of a sudden this is a big catastrophe after 8 years.
I have no idea.
If it were a national security problem, it would have been identified in although of course Trump was president, he was coming in 20 at that time, and he didn't care about that.
It didn't really start getting used in the United States until 2018.
Right.
Okay, Trump was president, but he didn't care about that.
But I think that's the thing, though, is that since the pandemic, because of the amount of people who are using it, it is recognizably one of those platforms people are going to discuss and address social issues. And so, you know, if they're so afraid about what Disney is showing in their movies, they're going to be afraid about an app where people are actually talking to each other about, you know, woke issues, quote, social justice issues. And of course, they're going to want to shut that down. And that's where, because of the nature of the TikTok interface, where you can, you put out your video, but you can let people can live comment and interface with it. It happens in more real time, I think, and there's ways to mix videos together so you can actually have active commentary, and then it turns into, you know, it can become mm-hmm. a whole dialogue. Like, I think it's because the tool does the thing that they don't want us to be doing, you know, around, and then maybe that's where the question about free speech starts to boil in, because you're, you know, if that's the latent concern, then you are talking about taking away a platform of social protest.
That's interesting. So maybe that's the political issue. And it's very, very interesting then that Mr. Trump doesn't care and is happy to have it hang around, whereas the Republicans apparently in the House really want to get rid of it. And Mr. Biden is happy, or President Biden, rather, President Biden, who has a platform, would be able and happy to sign the thing.
Right, which brings us to the last question that this mailbag had was,
yes.
If your president signs the law, will this hurt him with the young voters that we hear, again, people in Australia here, he needs to win re-election?
I would think it would, yes, wouldn't it? Right, since you and I don't use it, Mark, but Priscilla knows what's happening there. If it's that much of a platform for discussion, then I would think that Biden ought to be on it and engaging with the public in discussion, like have like FDR's fireside chat. It ought to be President Biden's TikTok hour or whatever, and have Kamala Harris join in, or have her have her separate program or whatever it is. To give him a break so he can go out and do whatever it is he's got to do. And Pete Buttigieg and the other important people in the administration, they all ought to be on there talking and engaging with the public directly.
So why do you think Biden would be willing to sign this? I mean, we all know he needs the young vote. He needs that young vote.
Yeah. Do you think maybe he doesn't understand what this is?
Well, I don't think it's that he doesn't understand.
But I mean, from the social issue and being able to talk in real time, I didn't realize that people could chime in that way. I thought it was just like, you know, you made a video and people could, you know, comment like YouTube, you know, people make comments and stuff like that. But it, or there could be a live stream where people can make live comments, but there's only one camera and one live speaker who is the host, and everybody else can type. Like a chat live.
I guess I look at this, and maybe this is why I never got involved with TikTok. I always saw it as nothing more than a video version of Twitter. Basically the same thing as Twitter, just that it had videos and it was more geared toward younger people. Now, when Priscilla a couple months ago said, oh, well, I get my news off of TikTok. I was rather surprised by that. I did not think that TikTok was really in that genre. I always thought, and again, when you read about TikTok and its history, you know, it started out where they were talking about trends in food, trends in fashion, more the light cultural stuff. And now to hear that, like, actual news is coming out on TikTok is a surprise to me, because I always thought that it was more based around young people as an escape from the news. You know, you want to hear what somebody says about what's the right fashion or makeup or reviews on restaurants and things like that. Yeah, I mean, it always seemed to me to be social media light.
Where, let's enjoy our lives rather than fall into despair.
Exactly.
I think that's how it surged in its popularity in the United States, was the pandemic happened. And it was the app people were using to express themselves creatively and connect with other people. You know, Facebook is cool, but it's still text-based, and, you know, it's kind of run its course. And then, you know, Twitter is not the place it used to be.
So I understand. You know,
and Instagram, you know, is Facebook, but with images. And so there's, I think it was the component of that interaction space really was very attractive at a time when people needed it. And that's why it's evolved to what it is. You know, it's like, I know that there are like newscasters. Like I just saw the other day, Terry Gross gave a tour of her office on TikTok. And I'm like, that is really cool. I've never actually seen a picture of Terry Gross. So, you know, it was like, cool, now I have a face for this person. You know, and then there's the people doing all the commentary. So it's an app that I think if any politician were to embrace it, the extent to which Obama embraced Twitter, they'll get the attention of the younger voters. If they, in fact, do go and ban it, you know, just even the fact that Biden supports it is just further evidence to me that he's out of touch. And I think that's the bigger problem, is that he's out of touch. He does need the younger votes, but you're not going to get it. But he's also broken the trust of a lot of younger voters over, like, the student loan forgiveness thing and stuff like that. So it's like, he's not the candidate the Democrats should be putting up, but neither is Trump. So, you know.
Well, it's like, these are the two best schmokies we could put up, believe it or not, out of a country of 330 million people. For Obama, let me just say, yes, he embraced Twitter, but he also embraced BlackBerry. Now, I see Priscilla laughing about BlackBerry. Before I had an iPhone, BlackBerry was my thing. BlackBerries were like the best. And he would not give up his BlackBerry. So, I mean, it's, you know, there was some old timey things about Obama as well. And I agree that. So you mentioned Terry Gross, NPR. Audie Cornish, I see, now has a thing on CNN. And I've always liked Audie Cornish. But again, the PBS people have always been, yes, they do bring the news. And I'm the first one to say to my students and people that I talk to, I think PBS is some of the best news. You're going to get legitimate, down the middle, moderate stuff. And at the same time, you're going to get some fluff. You're going to get, you know, again, the cultural kind of pieces being done that you're not going to see on CNN or MSNBC or Fox or any of these others that are so politically focused. You're going to see that on NPR. So other than the NPR, Priscilla, as you are on this, what other news agencies are you getting your news from on TikTok? Who else is there? Or is it just the NPR people?
It's a lot of people who are using the platform to make commentary. So there are people who are novel writers. There are people who are journalists, local publications, things along those lines, you know, who are expanding their platform. So these are people who wouldn't necessarily have the throw of a national voice. And what makes them attractive is what they do is they take the news and they distill it down to the soundbite that makes sense, as opposed to the soundbite that the corporate channels do because they're trying to, you know, spin a vested interest. And so then what happens is what you have is, as opposed to the corporate soundbite, you have the soundbite from somebody who you can see. They're, you know, in a background that's, you know, they're at home, they're in a hotel. I mean, this is somebody who's more of a grassroots commentator. And I think that builds a type of trust because, you know, at this point, when we've seen just all the things, all the malarkey happening with corporate news, we're trying to find our news from sources that aren't as toxic, you know.
It's not like Reuters or AP or anything. It's not like that.
I mean, it's like, you know, if any of us just turned on a phone today and said, I'm going to talk about the news today, blah, 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 blah. You know, and here's a link to the thing I was reading, blah, 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 post. That's exactly what it is.
Well, and that was one of the things that I did not send this out because this email was a little on the long side, was asked why the Nova Society is not on TikTok.
Maybe we should be.
Why is the Nova Society not on TikTok? I defer to Priscilla on this one. That was one of the, why know. Are you, and I guess that's, I would have to get a tutorial from Priscilla is exactly how to do this. But it was asked, you know, why is not the Nova, we are on Instagram, although not as much as we are on Facebook or now with the new YouTube channel coming up. And again, Stephanie's asking, why are you not on TikTok? And I guess my thing would be is I had no idea how to use the bloody thing.
So I'm on a lot of social media apps that I I'm not necessarily a creator on, and TikTok is one of them. So I go to TikTok, and I am going through TikTok. I interact with TikTok. I don't pay people from TikTok. That's where I do have, I'll go to your Patreon, but I'm not going to pay you through TikTok. But I do think, for me, I mean, I've done a couple videos and I'm like, oh, there's just like, I don't have the vibe of that or the charisma of those kinds of creators, but I've also pulled back from a lot of my social media use just over the last few years, just because of, and there's actually a TikToker who did a whole thing about this. One of the things that happens inadvertently with people who are obsessively like creating content for social media, whether it's for monetary purposes or not, it takes a toll, like not only from the perspective of creating, but also if you're not getting the reception from it that you're hoping to get. You know, it's like really hard to get a viral tweet out there. And if you don't necessarily have the biggest social network, it's that much harder, you know? And so for me, I'm like, okay, I really don't want to put all of like my academic writing and research out on Twitter for other people to get those ideas from. But I also don't want to get myself in the cycle of like, oh, no one liked my tweet. What could I be doing differently? And then now rethinking my entire strategy. And it's just, it creates, I think, a risk of self-doubt. The self-doubt has shown to manifest as, mental health crises in people who are content creators. Folks don't know what they're getting into. And so they, plunge in headfirst into content creation, and then they're like, oh my gosh, completely overwhelmed. Kids, are like, I want to be a YouTuber when I grow up. And it's like, the people who are successful YouTubers have really put a lot of work into it. And it's not for nothing that a lot of them have like Patreon accounts for people to contribute, help donate money so that they can raise funds, which means they're trying to raise funds above and beyond what they would be otherwise getting through ad revenue and users on their platform. So, and it gets a lot more complicated, but why we're not on TikTok, I don't know why we're not on TikTok, but I'm not the one who's going to lead the TikTok.
Okay. And as I get the look.
So what does leading on TikTok mean?
Well, all right. So again, I'm going to go back to Priscilla. What is the length that you could put onto TikTok video? Is there a limit?
I think it's 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. Because like our partners in producing this podcast do have the capability to do what are called 1 minute short clips, which basically discuss what we are discussing here. And you could do that for each single episode. And maybe that's the way we should be. Maybe that's something we should be looking at doing, is putting it up on TikTok until it gets banned by the United States. And then, it won't. But I will say this. The other thing, we look at the stats as far as our listeners are concerned. Yes, most of our listeners are from the United States, but we have a huge following in Germany. We have a very large following in what they call Oceania. Which is Australia, yeah, New Zealand, down in that kind of area. We have a big following there. We are starting to grow in South America, which is kind of nice. Believe it or not, our most popular city, single city, is Frankfurt, Germany.
Yeah, really, Frankfurt, huh?
I would never have thought that. Would never have even begun to believe that was possible. Frankfurt, Germany is really one of the more popular, as far as cities. If you look up by city, that's where it sits. So maybe it is, Stephanie, maybe this discussion has spurred us to do something a little bit different. Maybe we will.
Why not?
Well, yeah. So says Brooklyn, as she knows I'm the one that is going to have to probably do this.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that.
You're
thanks
welcome.
A lot for that.
Lots of confidence.
I'm just gonna have to learn how to use it and see what we can do from there.
Exactly.
So that we do believe that will hurt the president if he does sign it.
Yes, I would say yes. It's unfortunate. I mean, as I'm getting older person, I find, you know, I really don't necessarily want to bother with learning new things. You know, give it to my granddaughter.
Wait a minute, aren't you in school?
Yes, but that's different. That's learning English literature, which is very interesting to me. It's something that I enjoy, theories and linguistics.
So, but you're learning new things.
Yes, but this is
something. So we're teaching an old dog new tricks. Come on.
Yeah. Yes, but English was always my best subject, so this is something I enjoy. Picking up my German language again would be interesting. That's something I enjoy. But I've never been good at technology and things of that nature. It's something I would rather hand to somebody else and say, here, please do that, do this, do that.
Okay. Well, Stephanie, I think, unfortunately, it looks like I have something else that I have to look into, which is the TikTok realm. Because the ladies have ganged up on me and basically said, no, you have to do that.
So 1, 2, 3, not it. Not it.
Yeah, we're very, very good at that. But we want to thank you for the email because it was an interesting. This is very interesting. And again, we did veer off onto the Apple thing. But I think, again, I really don't know why they're doing that. I guess, again, I love my Samsung. I love my, you know, the Android platform. I think it's fine. It isn't as functional as the Apple platform, no doubt about it. But then, come on, Google, up your game. You know.
Personally, I don't care as long as the thing works. And what I don't understand is why Google and Apple can't form a daughter company that is a subsidiary of both and find some way to collaborate and expand something that benefits everybody and create something entirely new.
Well, you know, this might be, again, just looking up TikTok as we were doing. This may have something to do with why TikTok's under the gun. In 2021, TikTok surpassed Google as the most visited website. Now that had to hurt.
I'm sure.
That had to hurt a bit. That they surpassed Google, which is like people, the behemoth.
Well, yep. People wanted cat videos and rather he, than.
He is from Singapore.
He is from Singapore.
He's not American. Oh no, he's not American.
And you know, an interesting point here is the TikTok Limited was incorporated in the Cayman Islands, which a lot of these things are because of for tax purposes and all that. It is based in Singapore and Los Angeles. Neither one are in China, including Los Angeles. It owns entities that are based in the United States, Australia, which also runs a New Zealand business, the United Kingdom, and Singapore. Again, none of this is in China. Now, the main company that Brooklyn mentioned, which was ByteDance, is a Chinese company. However, TikTok in 2020, their US-based CEO, TikTok said that their US-based CEO was responsible for making important decisions and has downplayed its Chinese connection. So again, a lot of cases, this is just a rehashing of the Red Scare back in the late 1950s. I would suggest anybody that wants to look that up, look it up and see what it was all about. It was totally fear driven for no reason whatsoever. None of it was based on fact.
Although it gave us a Twilight Zone.
It did give us a Twilight Zone. Yes.
And arguably gave us Star Trek.
And it caused Charlie Chaplin to be deported and he never came back. And his wife gave up her United States citizenship in protest. And they left and returned only when he was given a special award at, I think, I don't know, it was an Oscars ceremony. I'm not sure. And many individuals Hollywood people were turning each other in, and Lucille Ball was investigated because her grandfather was a member of the Communist Party or something, or she attended one meeting and she wrote down that she was a member of the Communist Party to make him happy. And so she was investigated, and just all kinds of nonsense. And yes. So I guess on the one hand, we've got, if we look to the left, we've got, we're making China into an enemy. And if we look to the right, the Democrats and everybody who's woke or a liberal becomes the enemy.
But Russia's just fine.
Yep. But Russia's just fine. So you get to pick.
So there you have it. Scott will be joining us again next week. He is now in Florida enjoying some R&R. So he will be back next week. And ladies, always a pleasure to talk to the both of you.
Yes. And you as well. Great, Priscilla.
And I'm going to be sending messages to Priscilla as I start going through to figure out how to use TikTok.
And I'm just going to why are we doing this, sir? Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because our fans love us. And thank you, Stephanie, from Australia.
Australia. All right. You guys take care.
Yes, you too. See you next week.
All right.
Bye.
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 So that's all the time we have for today's episode. The Nova Society is a production of the Phoenix Research Institute. We'd like to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, the Phoenix Research Group, an independent research consortium offering social issue solutions to NGOs and international government agencies through multidisciplinary, nonpartisan, and unbiased research. We'd also like to thank our podcast partners, Buzzsprout, who hosts the Nova Society, Audacity, our editing partners, Podkite, who does all our analytics, iHeartRadio, where people get their music and podcasts, Apple iTunes, the largest source of music and podcasts on the internet. Spotify, the most popular source for the Nova Society. The Nova Society is available on all these and other quality platforms mentioned in our description. We'd like to thank our listeners. Without you, the Nova Society would not be possible. If you have a comment, a question, or would like to be a guest on the Nova Society, we can be reached at nova.society.podcast@gmail.com. Always remember, the power of society is knowledge. So for Dr. Scott Gershwer, Dr. Priscilla Hobbs, Dr. Brooklyn Ann Weldon, and all of us here at the Nova Society, I'm Dr. Mark Bound. Be well, and we hope to see you again next time.